Benjamin, and we're back on the other side of the break. In studio with me today is Kevin Harbison. He's a major who is the Civil Air Patrol commander of the Greater Nashua Composite Squadron. And this hour is being actually sponsored by Mary Murphy, America's first independent franchise branch owner. Now, for Schwab, now, talk about a tongue twister. That's just really, really difficult to say. But Mary offers financial workshops open to the public at her office in Nashua from 6 to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays. And these are, there's no cost for you to go to these, and they're very, very informative. And Mary really cares about whether or not you have a financial nest egg to take care of so that you don't have to look to the government to take care of you in the long run. Call her at 595-0581, 595-0581. You know, that's one of the things we're really trying to encourage is personal responsibility and taking care of ourselves, because prior to about the 1940s, we were responsible for ourselves, and we weren't dependent upon Uncle Sam to do a whole lot of things for us. And it's been one of those things that's gone down that's a side road. Well, Karen Peterson had sent me a message over Facebook and said, well, if you're going to talk about Civil Air Patrol, don't forget the Naval Sea Cadets. And you, and as I mentioned that to you, Kevin, you said, well, we actually do a joint project with
them. That's correct.
So what do you do with them?
That's correct. One of the other jobs I have within the New Hampshire Wing is right presently I'm the commanding officer for the New Hampshire Wing Non-Commissioned Officer Academy, which we run over Christmas break. Surprisingly, we get about 120 cadets who are willing to give up their Christmas break to learn the art of leadership.
Wonderful.
And so we run the Non-Commissioned Officer Academy, and we run what's called a Regional Cadet Leadership School, which is basically an officer's school, cadet officer school. And in those both of those programs, we have opened up last year, for the first time, we opened them up to the Sea Cadets. And we had, I think it was 7 or 8 Sea Cadets at the NCO Academy. And we had a couple of Sea Cadets at the RCLS, but we actually had a Sea Cadet instructing at the RCLS.
Oh,
so
cool.
So next year, this next winter, we anticipate having Sea Cadets actually on staff at the NCO Academy, at the Non-Commissioned Officer Academy, and again, Sea Cadets attending the RCLS and on staff at the RCLS. So we've integrated them pretty well into the New Hampshire wing.
Very good. Well, the mission of the Sea Cadets is through organization and cooperation with the Department of the Navy to encourage and aid American youth to develop, training them in seagoing skills and teaching them patriotism, courage, self-reliance, and kindred virtues. Since 1958, the Naval Sea Cadet Corps has been committed to providing American youth with a drug and alcohol-free environment to foster their leadership abilities, broaden their horizons through hands-on training, and guiding them to become mature adults. Sounds like quite a nice program. And they actually have Sea Cadet activities in Manchester and I believe Concord, but I'll post that actually on the Facebook page, which is Karen Testerman. And so I'll be able to get that up for you so you can follow up on that.
I also believe there's one in Peterborough, I think.
There might very well be.
That way. Yep.
Although that's getting a little far
it's
away
an odd
from
place
the,
for one, but I think there is one out there. Yeah.
That's like our friends who were in the Navy and they were stationed in Arizona, and I kept trying to figure it out. The only thing I could think of is there's that great big Colorado River that comes along the border between Arizona and New Hampshire. I mean, in California. And so maybe that's why they were there. But it always blew my mind that the Navy was sending this guy to Arizona.
That's very similar to the when I was in the time there was what we used to call the most messed up military installation in the world was Lajes Azores. That was where the Air Force ran the ground units, the Navy flew, and the Army ran the ships.
Oh, interesting.
It was a very strange place, but you never know where you're going to end up.
And you end up. It is very interesting that you end up doing some cross training, and I think that's what they found after the Cold War, was that we really needed to do, rather than replicating so many things individually, to actually bring those forces together and do the things in common that we could, and then
absolutely
branch out.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's interesting when you talk about the Sea Cadets, their goals and their mission. A lot of the cadet, almost all the cadet programs that I know of, very similar. They mirror each other very similarly to their desired end state, is to have a independent thinking young adult who has integrity and strives for excellence and citizenship.
And it's interesting too, because you want them to, the integrity part is a very, very important factor. There's a lot of internet, I don't know, what do you call it? Internet chatter? Well, anyway, there's a lot of internet chatter that's going on right now, because some people out there actually think that our elected representatives ought to do what they said they were going to do. And they want to know if I ask you this question about your vote, did you really vote that way or not? And when the representative comes back, or the senator representative, the elected official comes back and says, I really didn't. And you kind of say, well, what's wrong with it? Can't you say yes or no? And integrity really plays into that. So it's a very valuable part.
Absolutely. If you look at our core values, integrity is one. We have excellence, we have respect, and then we have volunteer service. Those are our core values that we share with the cadets from the time they start. And we show them those core values, and we demonstrate those core values, and we by showing them how to apply them and how to make moral and sound judgments based on those core values, we get very good results. And it's surprising how quickly the cadets will step up to the plate and become leaders.
Now, do they ever get to the point where they occasionally will slip up and make a bad decision?
Don't we all?
Well, I was just sort of asking that question.
Yes, they do. And one of the prime tenets, at least in my squadron, and I can speak for my squadron, but I do know most of the squadron commanders in the state, and we all pretty much feel the same way, is I try and instill or remove, which is the fear of failure, from the cadets.
Uh-huh.
One of my goals is to allow them to fail. Because in the process of allowing them to fail, they learn, and we take what they did, what they failed at, doesn't make them a failure, just they failed at a task, and we sit down, we talk about it without pointing and creating blame or any of that stuff. We talk about it, we evaluate it, and then we go back and we do it again. There are times, and the cadets, if there's anybody out there, they're going to laugh when I say this, but and they know this, and I tell them that I do this. There are times when I'll put them in a situation that I know that they're going to fail.
Okay, so you set it
as an education, because they know, and they're very comfortable with the fact that if they fail at what they're doing, I'm not going to take adverse action with them. It's going to be a learning experience.
Okay.
Sit down, and all of the chain of command within my squadron, actually all of the wing, believes the same way. You can't learn from continued success. If you're always getting attaboys and always, yeah, this is great, this is great, this is great, you're never learning.
Right.
You're just saying, well, I must be doing great things, and eventually, you know, the head gets big, and you never take the time to self-evaluate. So the failure causes you to look inside yourself, evaluate what you're doing, and change what you're doing to create success. And that's how we try. That's how we work that piece.
Well, so when they do have failure, we've got a caller on the line, but I want to get this through
sure.
real quick. When you set them up for failure, they know that. But do they ever make a bad decision and then have to face consequences
yes.
because of
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. If they're kids, and they will make bad life choices, and there are consequences. There are some very strict guidelines that we have to live with within the cadet program. It's not the military, but they have a certain tenets of discipline that they have to follow. They have to be respectful, and they have to follow the rules, and the rules are spelled out very clearly. Departure from the rules, lack of integrity, and those kinds of things, they will result in admonishment of some type. And absolutely, they're not harsh in
right,
you know, life altering kind of thing. The idea is to get the person to understand what they did wrong, and that we're not if you were judging them, they made an error in judgment. So let's fix that. Let's find out what allowed you to do that. And a lot of times, quite frankly, when these cadets or adults, if you would, make these errors in judgment, it's not necessarily that they're a bad person. It's just that they've never been trained or received information of how to deal with that specific situation in a moral and ethical manner.
Well, very, very good. And I'm really excited about that. Well, on the line we have Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Testerman. There is a relationship there. He happens to be my oldest son, but we're very, very fortunate to he and my dad and his dad, or his dad and I. Well, let's get it right. Are very fortunate to have the Air Force actually station him at the University of New Hampshire to become the ROTC, the Reserve Officer Training Corps commander for the area. And but Patrick also is involved with the Civil Air Patrol as well. So it's very nice to have you online, Pat.
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here. Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Pat. How are you?
It's pretty interesting, huh? Yeah.
Doing all right.
That's okay. So, Pat, tell us about the Reserve Officer Training Corps and what is its primary function?
Well, it's great that you have Kevin on here to start off with, because we've got some similar goals in some part. Our mission in Air Force ROTC nationwide is to produce quality leaders for the United States Air Force. And in these times, with all the stuff that is going on around the world and back home, having those quality leaders with a bedrock of core values, sort of like Kevin was talking about, and our core values are integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. Having leaders that exhibit those strong core values, have a commitment to serve the Constitution and other things greater than themselves, is critical in this time. So what we do through Air Force ROTC, it's one of the three ways that we produce officers, commissioned officers, for the United States Air Force. The other two are the Air Force Academy and then Officer Training School. Air Force ROTC produces about 2,000 officers a year, plus or minus, and that changes as our needs and capabilities change. Across the United States, in 145 different detachments that serve about 1,000 schools nationwide. It's a four-year program. We start off with the freshmen and sophomores, training them both in the academic situation, where active duty Air Force personnel are the ones that do that training. And then in a cadet-run, a training organization, again, very similar to the Civil Air Patrol cadet program. And in that program, the juniors and seniors are responsible, with our oversight, to produce a training program that prepares these freshmen and sophomores for the field training experience, which happens between their sophomore and junior year. And then when they finish that field training experience, they come back and are now the Professional Officer Training Corps, where they are now training the freshmen and sophomores that come after them. And that's really the strength of the program. Again, like the Civil Air Patrol cadet program, is that it's cadet-run and probably one of the best leadership training environments we could create.
Well, so what I gather from both of you, both Kevin and Patrick, is that you're trying to train leaders. That's really key.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, leadership is critical right now. When we've had problems in the military, we can most often trace that back to a failure of leadership at some level or many levels sometimes. So our responsibility is to create leaders. Now, they're a special kind of leader. They are in that less than 1% who are going to volunteer and be qualified for military service. They are signing up for something that's, quite frankly, much different than what I signed up for over 20 years ago, in that when I signed up, I said that definitely that I would support and defend the Constitution, and I knew that there was a possibility that I would be sent to war at some point, and I was. The folks that are signing up right now are signing up in a time of war, and they absolutely know without a doubt that they are going to go to combat. And so it's not an if, but a when. And that kind of dedication comes obviously with a lot of responsibility, but also says a lot about the character of the people that are signing up right now. And we need to build that character because we are putting them in a situation where they are what we call it in the in the academic environment is unlimited liability, meaning they are without any dramatics, they are signing a check that says pay to the order of the American people any amount up to and including my life. And and just this past year we've had several of the folks, not through the ROTC program that I've trained, but through other programs that I've trained, who have given up that sacrifice.
Yes, and we, that's one of the things that we fail to realize is that even today, we tend to think, well, 9/11's behind us. We tend to think that the Iraq War is behind us. And so forth, but we fail to remember that every month we lose anywhere from 10 to 30 military personnel a month. And we can never forget that freedom is not free.
This is Karen Testerman on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM. We have in studio with us Major Kevin Harbison of the Civil Air Patrol, and online, Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Testerman with the Reserve Officer Training Corps stationed at the University of New Hampshire. Now, these gentlemen work in tandem and sometimes separately, so it's been a joy to have them in the studio. We will be back right after this for a short break.